am Beth Massey, and I'm here with Mike Droney and Sheil Shaw, a program manager and a tester on the Visual Studio Light Switch team. Hey guys, thanks for coming and doing Channel 9 and video. So tell us a little bit about yourself. How'd you get to Microsoft, Mike?
I've been in Microsoft 12 years now. Almost, no, 11 and a half actually. I've worked on every release of Visual Studio since .NET started.
Yeah.
I worked on Visio before that again, and that's how I came to Microsoft. I'm originally from Ireland, and I've worked as a developer and as a tester, so I've had a bit of a strange path to where I am today.
Cool. How about you, Sean?
I've been at Microsoft a couple of years. Came here out of college, University of Waterloo. So
cool.
Yeah.
Cool. So you've been on the Light Switch team since?
Yeah, since I started.
Cool.
Since, you know, it was just an idea, so.
Awesome. So what are you guys going to show off today?
So we're going to show an app that we wrote using Light Switch. Actually last year, but it's iterated since then, which we're going to actually use in-house as a real application for our admins.
Okay, so this is like something we really built. It's an internal app, but it's really going to be used.
It actually started from start to finish. It's like the first real-world deployment of a Light Switch app, not just something that we decided to do some app building around or do some like just investigation around. It's actually a real working live app.
Okay, so tell me, like, how long in total did this take to build? Like, what does it do? What is the app?
So I guess the background to that is that about a year and a half ago, the admins, who were people who just manage all of our requests, all of our hardware, all of our anything that we need to do in our job to make our team successful, they need a way to track what assets that we own.
Okay.
So
like your monitor, your keyboards, and all that.
Desktops.
Okay.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Yeah. They have to know who owns them, where they are, where they're located. How can they track them by like tags? How can they order new ones? You know, who's due for new hardware? So there's a lot of information that they need to store in a central location, which they need to access based off of organizational units.
So what were they using before?
So they were using a combination of either internal tools, which are over the whole company, or just Excel.
Okay.
Or what was really interesting was that before Light Switch existed, they got a developer from one of the other teams in the division to write an application, a three-tier application, which used Silverlight, which used ASP.NET and IIS, and used SQL Server.
Okay.
And he wrote that app for them in a couple of months, but the interesting thing was is that it just took so much work for him to do all of the plumbing code.
Okay.
And then as a result, the app that came out of it was, it worked, but it was very limited in functionality, and it was very hard for the users to upgrade, or it was very hard for them to use. It was very a very smaller scale app than they hoped
for. So he couldn't put as many features in the app because he had to build all the plumbing, is basically what you're saying.
Yeah, and the maintenance for that was just a nightmare.
Okay,
yeah.
So how did you go about, like, you know, requirements, and did you look at that app? Did you go back to the users, and how long did that process take?
So we took a quick look at the app.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we couldn't get access to the source code, but we talked to the developer. Mm-hmm. One of the first things that he said was, "I really wish I had your product."
Okay.
which was sort of a nice endorsement for us, but we still have to build the app. We took a look at what he offered in his screens.
Okay.
We talked to the lead admin who was charged with like getting this app up and running for everybody else.
Okay.
So they were like our customer.
Okay.
And if we were to use our personas, they were our Bob and we were Tim.
Okay.
And got a list of her requirements, got a list of her workflows, a list of the type of data that she wanted to see in her app, and then we went together and did a prototype.
Yeah. So how long did the first prototype take to put together?
About a week.
Okay.
Less
2 hours
probably
a day, maybe 10 hours.
Oh, like 2 hours a day. Well, like 10 hours of work, right?
Yeah.
You got other things to do.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it was on earlier bits as well.
This was
pre-beta,
yeah.
So
gotcha.
We obviously had to, you know, work around things that we knew in the product.
So in 10 hours, you basically had what more than what the previous two months had taken.
Oh, yeah. A lot more.
A lot.
Gotcha. Wow.
Because we didn't have to deal with the plumbing code,
right,
which was really nice. So we had a couple of interesting pain points where we were trying to build more interesting workflows for her application on top of what Light Switch offered.
Okay.
But after the first prototype, we were actually really impressed that we didn't go down any dead ends.
Cool. We weren't blocked anywhere. Yeah, didn't hit ceiling. Okay.
Yeah. Well, once we had the first prototype, it was just a real iterative process with her. So we'd show her a prototype. She'd ask for more functionality or ask for some changes here and there, mm-hmm. and we'd just quickly make those changes and then show her the app again.
Cool.
So.
Yeah. So can we see the app?
Sure.
All right. So here it is. This is the.
So this is okay.
Screen.
So we're actually running on the debugger, but this is the home screen of what the real deployed app on the network shows today. So regular light switch app. We didn't customize the shell too much. We just left what we have in stock.
The default. Okay.
Yeah. Well, we have our own splash screen, just to welcome them to our app.
So this is beta 2, right?
Yeah. This is beta 2. Yeah. Right. So. Cool. So, and you see we've built in NT-Auth, so
cool.
It's Shield that's logged into the app. So, but like the first thing they may do is they'll have on their menu system, they will say, well, okay, and the organizational unit that they deal in are cost centers. A cost center is a group of like a bunch of people.
Okay.
So
it's basically like a team at Microsoft.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So they want to create their cost center. So we'll put in, let's use our cost center. So actually what's happening now is we're to save the users of the app work of entering a lot of data, which is something they don't like to do.
Right.
We have to deal with multiple data sources. So for a cost center, they have their users, which are members of the cost center. It's stored off on the network. So what we're actually doing is we're talking to Active Directory.
Oh, cool.
To get like all of the information for them of their cost center so they don't have to type it in.
Awesome.
Because if you can see up here, there's like 76 employees on the light switch team. They don't want to be entering in 76.
Right, okay. So that's what records. That did that on the back end.
So we went and talked to Active Directory, pulled down a list of
And you populated
users.
The entity back
yep.
there and then
yep.
refreshed
it.
Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
And so we've actually built functionality where you can actually keep the information we've captured from Active Directory in sync with Active Directory. So,
Cool.
Teams at Microsoft change a fair bit, so if employees leave or join the team, you'd want to capture that in our application. So we've actually built functionality where you can sort of sync up your list of employees
with those
on Active Directory.
That's cool. Okay, so what else we have? We have assets, purchase orders. So this is like a nice one-to-many across relationship tab. Everything.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's probably fairly quick to build the screen, so you're concentrated more on the back end this particular case?
Yeah, this screen was pretty much using the default templates we built into LightSwitch. So we have a template called Detail where we'll show you the details of a particular object and its relationship. So that's exactly what we did here.
Cool.
So there's our detail screen
for an employee.
So obviously we have no assets in this app, right?
So you just created the cost center, you got your employees, and now you got to start entering the assets that they have?
Yep. So one of the other nice things that we added was, again, users don't like to be constantly entering data when they don't have time.
Right.
So what we did was Shield built a really cool extension which allows you to import data from Excel.
Cool.
And he's actually made it really generic so that we can use it in not just this application. We could use it as samples that other people can use in their other LightSwitch apps.
So what is it looking like? Entity property names?
Yep.
I guess column names kind of thing?
Yeah. So if we open it up.
It actually lets you map Excel columns to entity property names.
So you can see here, I've obviously named the columns in Excel to match what they are. But if they didn't, you can always just pick them.
Cool.
Which is very cool.
So I might want to see that code.
So it's
all dynamic, so you can use it any entity.
So you just
specify a parameter, basically.
You basically say, I want to import data for this particular collection, and it'll handle the rest for you.
The nice thing is that she has put in some nifty code where he actually pulls data across relationships as well. So he can see, like, employees in a different entity but from asset. He did a lookup based on the value, which was in the Excel spreadsheet, and then matched it to the related employee, and then added it.
Cool.
Now, obviously, we don't save it. We just suck it in,
right.
And then you can verify your data, which is that's valid. But then, as soon as you save, you're done. Two clicks, and then now they've only had to click the mouse. They haven't had to type anything in, and now they have they've got a lot of asset data, which is already valid. It already has assigned assets out. And also has all the employee data in as well, too.
So these are your business rules or calculated fields?
Those are calculated fields,
okay,
gotcha. So once you import it, though, they are automatically updated, right?
Yep.
That's cool. I like that.
What else do you guys have? A little nifty things you got. So you got the Active Directory thing, the Excel, which is nice.
So the big thing that users actually do with this information once it's here is build reports off of it. So one of the things that our admins do is actually use the information here to forecast. So they'd like to understand, okay, which employees have assets that are, you know, coming out of warranty pretty soon. So which ones are due for a new asset? And that way they can take that up to their manager and say, okay, these are the assets we're going to need for the next quarter. Do we have the budget? And how are we going to figure out who gets new machines?
Okay.
So we've actually built some functionality into this app to actually report on your assets and say, okay, who's due for a refresh? You know, who's due for a refresh, which are in a particular discipline? So
the report is really what, an editable grid?
Yeah, it's just a grid. Okay. And one of the features that's actually built into LightSwitch is the ability to export to Excel.
Right.
So once you've, you know, built up a report here saying, you know, these are the employees that are due for a refresh, I can export that to Excel and then send off an email to my manager with that report and say, okay.
So it's just like parameterized queries up here?
Yeah, this is just a query that we're building over the asset data we already have.
Okay, cool.
So what was interesting in the iteration of the development of the app was we would put together these reports based on what they needed, and they would say, okay, that's really cool. Now I need another one, which I just thought of. So, and because you have to go through the whole process of, okay, I've got to build up this screen, which represents the report for the type of data that you want to get. Mm-hmm. How can we give them a screen which allows them to dynamically build that?
Yeah.
So, because that's not built into any application by default, but what could we do as like designers of our asset app that would allow them to go, okay, well, I need to do a specific query which I'm only going to run once a year.
Right.
But I don't want to have to go back to the developer and get, and the cost of them spending the time to put together a screen for that. So what we did, what is another cool extension that Shiel wrote, it was the extension master, where we built this dynamic query grid where you can actually build up query clauses of a specific entity. And put together a custom report and then save it to your local machine.
So this is just a custom control that you built?
Yeah, that's a custom Servlet control that's supported by a query on the LightSwitch backend. So.
Okay. And it lets you, it's kind of like almost like the query designer runtime.
Yeah, it's basically, it's essentially a replica of that.
Okay, cool.
So you can, you know, add groups to group your query clauses. You can even query across relationships, so you know.
I think we need to make this available as a sample.
Yeah, again, it's one of those generic extensions where you drop it into your app and it just works for any data you have. So
cool.
So yeah, I can look for Lenovo desktops, for example.
If I can spell.
Still.
Okay, we don't have any
Lenovo. No, nobody has a Lenovo desktop. Maybe a laptop.
There you go.
So cool. I really like that.
Yeah, the nice thing is you can add groups. So you can make this a pretty complex report if you really need to.
Right. Wow. You can like query through to employees, so you can say, you know, where are the assets employees in this particular discipline.
So it's looking at all the direct
properties. Yeah, LightSwitch has basically a model that describes the data of your application. Mm-hmm. And developers can actually use that model to do really cool things like this.
Okay, awesome. All right, can we see some of the code for some of these things?
Yeah, sure.
This channel 9, we need code.
There's no code.
No code. It's all magic. Okay.
Okay. So let's actually run back to our project. So this is our LightSwitch project, and obviously this started as a pretty simple solution, and then it grew into something bigger.
Okay. So where you have your controls and extensions.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you took out our LightSwitch project. Mm-hmm. You can, if we take a look at our data design, so we have, okay, we start off like for an asset. This app is about assets.
Right.
All of the definition of our schema is defined on, okay, how are we going to manage our assets?
Mm-hmm.
So as you can see here, we have employee has, 0 or 1 employees has many assets. That's
right.
A common business definition that we established pretty early when we were talking to our customer. But how are they organized? So like you can see like an admin on a cost center, it's probably not the best name for the entity now, but at the time it was an admin owns a particular cost center.
I see.
So, okay. And then an admin and cost center has many assets.
Okay, gotcha. Cool.
Cool. There's a couple of other interesting relationships here. So, for example, here you can see that we have a relationship between asset and asset change.
Mm-hmm.
So one of our requirements that we found pretty late in the game was that our admins wanted to know who's what changes have occurred to an asset over time. So, you know, has it been reassigned
like
from one employee?
Yeah.
So it's pretty easy. We just added a relationship in LightSwitch and just created a table that tracked all the changes for a given object. So.
Okay, so did you have to just write some server code?
Yeah, so we had some server code. So LightSwitch provides basically a save pipeline, like if you want to pull it up. So when a particular object is inserted, deleted, or created, you mm-hmm. can do anything else you want at that point. So we wrote some code that when an asset is updated, go out and create this other change record and save it as well.
Okay.
So I think it's under
pre-processed.
Yeah, query pre-processed code. So there's a lot of server-side code in this particular solution because we go out and talk to Active Directory.
Gotcha.
It's probably under, if you hit the drop-down on the right there, it's probably under assets updating. Just lower down.
Oops. This is where you got
there.
To, Ellie.
Yeah.
Assets updating.
There you go.
There you go.
So
okay.
Pretty straightforward. We check.
Oh, you're just
the,
checking the original.
Yeah.
I see.
So,
you drill into the details.
Yeah.
And
so
that's
what we look. We say, okay, if an asset's employee has changed,
mm-hmm.
save the original employee of that asset to our change tracking table, saying, hey, you know, this asset used to be owned by this particular employee.
Gotcha. So the details property off the entity is really like your entry into the really what entity framework really like some of the properties.
Yeah,
get,
it's
like
all the
that.
Advanced stuff
yeah,
that provides
state
you.
And original
yeah,
values.
So you can say now has this particular object been changed? What
okay.
was it changed?
Right.
Is it created? What fields on it were changed? Is it valid? So there's a whole bunch of really cool things you can look at off this details property.
Cool. And it doesn't clutter up the entity itself. I like that.
No, it's a pretty yeah, it's just one. One entry point to all the cool stuff, basically.
So that's cool. That seems pretty straightforward. So what about this importing of Excel piece? That was also pretty interesting, actually.
Okay, so that's actually just a simple SQLite class library that you
okay.
can reference from our LightSwitch app and use. So,
okay.
Since this is a VS Pro solution, we just added it as part of the same solution. So this is actually...
this is written in VB.
Yeah, this is in VB. I'm a VB developer.
Codes in VB. I code in C Sharp. So. I used to work on the BB team, so I put my G in.
Okay.
So this is just a Silverlight extension. So like if you want to, we have a bunch of classes in here. This one in particular allows us to talk to Excel.
Okay.
Just basically pulls in data from Excel. Pretty straightforward, just using the Excel object model.
So in this case, it's using COM.
Yeah, it's using
COM. Okay, so you have to be out of browser?
Yeah, this has
okay.
to be an out-of-browser desktop.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Obviously, in the future, we could look at doing some of this on the server if you had Excel installed on your server, but at the moment, it's purely client-only.
Right.
So
or you could just use OpenXML if it's on the server, so
yeah.
that would probably be better.
Yeah.
It's more scalable.
Yeah.
Right. Cool.
Yeah, so if you want to open up some of the...
So you're going through and checking out the columns?
Yeah.
You're assuming
yeah,
the
so
top
you,
rows the first
yeah,
names
we assume
of
the top rows
yeah.
are the names of all your columns,
okay.
and everything else is just data. So if you want to open up extensions.vb, this is where all the meat happens. The module. So here we actually open up, you know, allow you to pick the Excel document you care about, and once we have that, we actually look at your LightSwitch entity
okay.
and try to figure out what are the properties on your LightSwitch entity, so we can give you a dialog that allows you to basically map your columns in Excel to your LightSwitch properties.
That's cool.
So,
and so we can make this like a sample of anybody else.
Yeah, it's actually, I've turned it into an extension.
Cool. Nice.
Probably release it and beta too.
Yeah,
just
we will.
Install it on your machine and
we will.
Go play. If you want to see how simple it is to call, Mike, if you want to.
Yeah. What's the caller?
If you want
to,
just go back to the
yeah.
the screen.
Which screen was it that we do it on?
Detail.
Oh, detail
cost. Cost center. Detail cost center.
Right there.
Yeah. You just.
And then we have the button. So.
Yeah. There's a button under the screen.
Yeah.
It's under screen. Oh, no,
no, it's on the grid.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Oof. There's a lot of stuff going on the screen.
No, it's under the asset script.
Asset screen. Asset.
Yeah, so import from Excel.
So we have to go down here. Oh, we've got to look at this guy down here. There we go.
Yep, so
there
it's just a single call to our class here. You say,
okay, so that's
import
the
from
entity.
Excel, and you pass off the collection we want to look for. And once we have that, we can do all the interesting inspection we need to figure out what are the properties on that particular entity type, and
that's
how
cool.
do we new up one of those entities and add them to this collection.
That's cool. So does it do like type conversion too? Because everything's a
yeah, it
collection.
Actually does some pretty cool things. So it validates the data prior to you to us actually importing it.
Oh,
so
okay.
We'll give you a list of warnings saying, you know, you tried to create, you know, map this particular Excel column to this particular type, but the data in this column is a string, but you're really trying to map it to an integer, and it
okay.
doesn't seem to convert. We'll give you a warning saying, would you like to go ahead? No, right. No or yes.
And then when it once it imports, when you try to press save, all your business rules fire.
We'll fire off
and
give
validation.
More validation anyway.
If you have that. Okay, cool. I like that. So we also saw the Active Directory stuff. Now that's happening on the server piece, server side, right?
Yeah, that's so it was like the first customization that we had to do on top of Lightswitch. So we initially we were thinking about, well, okay, maybe we'll use a custom data source to connect to Active Directory. The unfortunate thing about Active Directory is one of these special data sources that doesn't really conform to the rules of other custom data sources you might choose, like say like Facebook or Amazon or whatever.
Okay.
It has very, very special local rules about like you can't do expensive queries or they disconnect you and they cut you off.
I see.
So we tried with that, went down that road, and it didn't really work out. So in the end, what I just ended up doing is writing my own small library, which did some very specific custom LDAP queries, which sucked data out of Active Directory in a very efficient way for Active Directory.
Okay.
And so then I have to, that code obviously has to live, that library has to live on the server because it's running under ASP.NET, so it's a, we can't call it client-side.
Right.
So we intercept, what we decided to do was, okay, well let's intercept the save pipeline. A cost center has many employees. So on when you create a cost center, we go out and we say, well, okay, let's try find your...
You open up the cost center, actually. I think it's easier to navigate.
Oh, from the...
Yeah,
let's see that. You have that right here, right?
Oh, I'm saying open up the
cost entity?
The entity, admin and cost centers.
All right.
And then the right code drop down.
Yeah, which is basically here.
Which is actually
here.
Of our...
On the
if you go back to the design, hit the drop down on the right there.
Yeah,
under
there's
the
right
code.
With the resolution. Drop it down.
Hit the drop down.
Yeah, it's the resolution.
And then go to inserted. Or inserting. I don't know which.
It's inserting, I think it is.
It's a little easier to navigate through the designer, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. So you have your
When we start off, when you insert a new admin and cost center, so let's call it cost center.
Okay.
We say we spin up a new instance of my Active Directory info class.
Okay.
And then we go, okay, we get a list of the employees by just calling into my library, which returns back a list of tuples.
Okay.
The way because Active Directory is a little weird, you look up a list based off of an ID, which is just like a distribution list.
Okay.
It gives you back a list of members of that list. And because I can't do that expensive query like I want to do in custom data source, which just says give me back all of the members and all of your information, because that's when you get cut off, I go back to Active Directory, and then I look up each employee's data individually.
I see.
Which Active Directory allows me to do.
Okay, gotcha.
So and then I do that.
And that's just standard Active Directory code you probably would write in any other application.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's
so,
very
okay.
Yeah. I just pulled it from samples from the MSDN and then put it together in my own library. But that took less than 4 hours to get working.
Yeah.
Cool. And that wasn't Lightswitch specific at all. It's just
no, the only Lightswitch specific stuff is just knowing when to intercept the save pipeline for creating an admin and a cost center, and then adding in a ton of extra related records, which are stored in a different entity, and then saving it.
Gotcha.
And then of course, the other thing is when you're doing updating, because we, as Jill mentioned earlier on, that we do perform some level of sync, because there's data which we store in our own app, and there's also data which exists on this other Active Directory domain controller, which we don't have rights to edit.
Right.
But we may have to go back and check when it has been updated.
So you just pull it and
we resync it.
Yeah.
Okay.
When we have specific triggers in the application that the user initiates, like say, hey, sync with Active Directory, and then we trap that on the save pipeline again, because we just use some properties which allow us to know that, okay, go and update all of these.
Gotcha.
And then we just intercept it, go back out, use my library again to go talk to Active Directory and update the data.
That's pretty cool. So are there any other are there any complex business rules that you had to implement besides the audit trail? Not really?
There's a couple. I mean, we have authorization and security built in.
Cool.
So
how does that work? The admin gets access to their call
center? Yeah, so an admin can only edit their call center. Okay. What we've actually done is added some server-side validation logic. So if we basically look at an object that's being edited and say, okay, which user is editing this object, and do they have rights to edit this object?
Okay.
If they do, then allow them to edit, otherwise throw out a validation error.
So that's off the entities,
Actually, again, on the server side. So if I look here, for example, under assets, assets has a server-side validation, so assets validate.
Okay.
And over here, we basically just say, you know, can the given user edit this call center, or, and we also look at more interesting things, so like, we won't stop a user from reassigning their call center to another user.
Okay.
So we'll say, okay, you know what? If the original value of the owner is the current user, then it's okay to edit that particular field.
I gotcha. So if you wanted to like completely block access, you would put it in the can edit, can update, can view. But if you really need to like take a look at like, well, they can edit it only in a certain situation, then it would be like the validate method.
Yeah, it would just validate it.
Okay,
here.
Gotcha. That's cool.
Yeah, so we actually had some pretty complex auth rules that the admins wanted. So they wanted to be able to say, you know, I'm allowed to edit my call center, but when I'm off on vacation, I might want to also authorize these other admins to edit my call center as well.
Gotcha.
So we've allowed them to do that by building another relationship off their call center, say, authorized users, and they just list off all the users they care about.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. So what about this extension that you built? Like this is, so you got, so I see like different levels of stuff that you got. First of all, you started with the prototype really quickly, and that was just all light switch on and all stuff. Then you start going, okay, we need Active Directory. Okay, that takes a couple hours just to do the Active Directory part. The Excel import, those are all just, you know, libraries that you just reference in the project, right? Nothing really special going on there like you would any project, right? You have a class library project, is that what you've got?
Yeah, it's a sort of like class library.
Okay, so that's pretty standard coding, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, then of course you've got like the nice hooks everywhere inside of Lightswitch to hook into all of this stuff, like the audit trail seems pretty basic stuff. But then, you've got another level of customization going on, right? You've got like this extension, so how deep, how hard is that to build?
So at the moment, that actually isn't an extension for this project. It's just more references.
So it's just a custom control?
Yeah, it's a custom control that Lightswitch screens. So Lightswitch screens will, instead of using one of our built-in controls, you can say, let me use this particular Silverlight control, and you can just point to whatever you want this referenced by a project. So,
gotcha. So you create a Silverlight project. Then.
So it's basically, if we look up here, so that filter builder basically is actually interesting because it requires a client-side piece and a server-side piece.
Yeah.
So it's actually two libraries here.
Okay.
So what ends up being done is the client, that control that I have shown you, ends up building this XML clause that represents the query you've designed.
Okay.
And then that it gets pushed off to the server, which can then interpret it and turn that into a link query.
Cool.
So
that totally makes sense.
Pretty cool. You know, the client-side piece is pretty straightforward. It's just more Silverlight controls.
Okay.
You know, for example, this is the actual control that's shown on your screen with some dummy data.
Okay.
And there's some other, you know, supporting pieces that we have in here. So that's pretty straightforward.
And so you're hiding and showing, depending on if they're grouping and that sort of thing, creating more dynamically?
Yeah, so this is basically a list box with just rows. It's actually a tree. So it's just building up these clause objects that it's adding on. And then once you hit go, what this code does is it interprets all the clauses you built up and turns it into an XML blob that then gets pushed off to a server query.
Gotcha.
So in Lightswitch, you've added a query saying filter assets with a single parameter that's a string.
Okay.
So
that's cool.
And then once you actually have that there, so under assets here, we have this filter assets query.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually pretty straightforward. There's nothing to it here. It just takes a single string parameter.
Okay.
But what we've done in the additional query code is we've actually gone out and called out to that server library I wrote that can turn that XML string that the control passed off into an actual link query.
Gotcha.
So That actually is interesting because we then again have to inspect the light switch model, figure out what. Doesn't look like it actually goes to that. Let's just open it up right here.
So you wrote that as an extension method, so there's a filter.
It's an extension
query.
Method.
Okay, gotcha.
So it's pretty straightforward. And what we do is then once we've given, you know, we've got our that XML element that was passed off by the client, we can interpret it and basically use link extensions to build up a link query.
Cool.
Yeah, it's reasonably straightforward. You know, we do validation checking here to make sure your data that you've specified can match the data type of the light switch property, but. You know, it's pretty straightforward.
This is a nice generic.
Yeah, it's again generic.
Give just community to
drop it off in your app and it'll work.
Cool. All right. Sounds like we've got two things from Shield coming to the community very soon. Awesome. Maybe we'll get some snippets of Active Directory. I've been doing a lot of Office, you know, comm stuff. Lightswitch is so simple that the harder part is figuring out what comm methods you to call. Really, is about
The hard part here was figuring out how link works. Now I can build up a generic a link expression that does the query I want.
What's really interesting about this is that one of our testers actually in the process of app building last summer gave us this idea for the app because we were sort of stuck with, well, what do we do? Because we were just going to keep on building up reports. We really wish we had a custom report builder.
Right.
And then one of our testers actually built this inside of Lightswitch using no extensions, just using entities to store the clauses of the query. And then when we took a look at it, we were like, we can totally build on top of this. And then Sheil talked with him and then said, okay, why don't we use a custom control? Why don't we use an extension to actually do all the filtering?
Cool. So what I'm kind of seeing is like, you guys added a lot of value very quickly. This app got off the ground really quickly. And you focused more on like, very specific requirements that the app had. Not you didn't have to, like you said, the plumbing was taken care of.
Yeah, we didn't have to worry about the screens or anything. That was all easy to build. It's those special requirements they had that were required a little bit more work.
Right. So that's why that's why it took the other approach took months because you were focused on building all of and you didn't have any of these nice features, right? So you're really just focusing your time mostly on the features that users really want. Right?
And the nice thing here is we've designed all these extension points so that you can drop them in on any app at this point. So we won't have to do this work again if we're asked to build another app.
I've already used the Excel importer twice.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. Is there anything else interesting that we should show off to the community?
I think
so how many total screens do you have?
Let's see the size.
There's
a lot of screens actually. So we have a couple of specific screens, so detail screens to show off, this is the detail for a given asset or a cost center or an employee. We also have parameterized screens, which are sort of those custom queries that we built up.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a couple of specialized screens for managing employees who have left a cost center. So there's some specific business rules in Microsoft about when an employee leaves a cost center, they're allowed to take one of their assets, but the rest of their assets have to be given back to the cost center. So we've got a couple of screens to manage that.
So I noticed the way you named the screens is helpful, actually. It's interesting.
Well, the ones that are named nicely are Mike's, and then the couple that are named oddly.
So the intent of the screen is first instead of last, because then a light switch by default
because
goes by last.
It's hard to tell just from all the icons for the screens are the same, and I know that, like, for me, once you start growing the number of screens beyond, like, four or five, then you're looking at them going, okay, well, what does that
mean? That's a good best practice there.
Yeah.
Name it like that. How many entities then are in that?
Not many.
Is it just one database?
Just one database.
Okay.
We got six now when we added in the additional users. But initially we started, we only had like four.
Yeah.
And then we grew it to the change tracking, and then we grew it again to do the additional users. The nice thing about it, about Lightswitch was that we didn't have to destroy all of our test data once we started adding entities or removing columns or changing column types.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
All of our test data was persistent.
That's really nice, right? So if you delete a column, it also deletes from the screen.
Screen, and then if you add a column that's required, we'll make sure that we add it with a default value so you don't have to blow away the rest of your test data.
Your test MDF is still preserved.
That's pretty awesome.
Yes,
that's a really nice
TS
feature.
Data are really cool for providing that for us.
That's cool. So there was another question I was going to ask, and that kind of slipped my mind. Oh, how is this deployed? Where did you deploy it?
So we talked to our divisional IT departments, and they graciously gave us a web server and a SQL server, which they manage and they back up.
Okay.
To deploy our application to. So we took it in two steps. We deployed the database first, and then we went and deployed the middle tier on a separate day.
Yeah. So internally in house, we don't actually remote publish and enabled on our IIS servers.
Okay.
But if your enterprise has that enabled from Lightswitch, it's a sort of a one step publish where you point it to your IIS server and point it to your database.
That's the web deploy
service. Yeah, that's our web deploy service that we've got. So
okay, gotcha.
Fortunately, in Microsoft, we don't have that enabled.
So you had IT just help you?
Yeah, IT just said, okay, here's your we just handed off IT our package and
It was like, it wasn't too bad.
Yeah, because you can create the deployment package and then they can just install it. Yeah. Okay, right. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
And then for the user, it's a no-brainer, right?
It's actually a desktop app, so once you hit the site, it gives you an option to install it, which really just puts a link on your desktop, run the link, and there's your app.
Yeah.
And if we update the app, you don't really do anything. You'll just
then assuming you're using all Windows authentication and all that stuff because of that. Okay, cool. Awesome. Well, I'm pretty impressed, actually. This really, in total, only took you hours, not really, months to build. Yeah. That's pretty impressive.
The process takes longer just because you're working with real customers, and their requirements change, or we found a lot of, like, that's really cool that you can do this. Now, how's about doing this extra cool stuff? Because I think their expectations, based on their previous experiences, were low. They thought that they were going to get.
So you were like dressed to impress, right?
I think we were victims of our own initial early success because
we showed off the prototype.
We showed off the prototype so quickly, and they were like, "These guys can just do magic tricks that we didn't think they were capable of." And then as a result of that, then they came back with tons of extra features. And then because initially the way they started, we worked with one admin who worked with us closely about the design, and then after that, we demoed it to a greater audience of actual real users, and they had an awful lot of other opinions about stuff they'd like. The change tracking, like the additional user support, like the import from Excel, stuff like that. So then we had to go back and then and iterate on the development of the app to get it to a fully working state. And we deployed it before Christmas, and they're started using it now. So and we haven't heard too many complaints yet. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. So you know you really are pretty easy to get going with Lightswitch, and you use all your .NET development skills to like just build out the extras really.
Yeah. Just focus on what our users cared about really. So,
cool.
There's the nice thing was once we'd settled on a schema design, we could like break up different parts of the app to work on as well. Like I worked on the Active Directory stuff, I worked on the screens, I worked on some of the pipeline code, whereas Shield mainly concentrated on all of the cool extensions or cool custom controls, which he has better experience in.
Cool.
Yeah.
So. Did you use source control?
Yeah, I know we did. Source control, so we've been collaborating on the project.
It's definitely gets a little bit trickier when you're dealing with like schema changes. That's why we settled let's settle on the schema first.
Right. Okay.
And then break up your task where like I worked on the screens.
Okay.
And then Sheila worked on the custom controls because for that way, when you're doing merges, it's less painful.
Okay, right.
Because once you deal with the model, we both start working on the same screen, it can get a little bit confusing.
You have to merge them.
You have to look at what you're doing and say, well, okay, do you really want this change? And then
two developers work on any same screen, you have that issue, right?
Yeah.
Whether it's text code or XML merging, right? You have to do that. So. Cool. It's actually pretty exciting, and only having two developers on the project probably was perfect size, really, for this particular one, right?
Yeah, I think. I mean, we were able to work closely together because our offices just around the corner from each other. because we spent a lot of time together working with our customers, I think it made it a little easier to break up tasks.
Right. So. Well, guys, anything else you'd like to say to the community? We are going to get these guys blogging and making some samples for us for sure. Thank you very much for walking through this. And if you want more information on Lightswitch, download the beta, msdn.com/lightswitch. So, thanks, guys.
Bye.
Thanks, Beth.
Thanks.